lines of wavy grey streaking what had been auburn hair. The same genetics that had bequeathed him blue eyes and a fast metabolism had also granted him sunken cheeks that imparted a mask-like quality to his face. His narrow nose was made to appear even longer than it was, courtesy of a widow's peak that had grown more pronounced since the end of the war. As well, deep creases now bracketed his wide, thin-lipped mouth. Many described his face as severe, though he judged it pensive, or perhaps penetrating. As for his voice, he was amused when people attributed his arrogant tone to an outer rim upbringing and accent. He turned his clean-shaven face to both sides and lifted his chin. He folded his arms across his chest, then stood with his hands clasped behind his back, and finally posed akimbo, with his fists planted on his hips. Drawing himself up to his full height, which was just above human average, he adopted a serious expression, cradling his chin in his right hand. There were few beings to whom he needed to offer salute, though there was one to whom he was obliged to bow, and so he did, straight-backed, but not so low as to appear sycophantic. "Eliminate the top-line collars on the boots and lower the heels," he told the droid.
"Of course, sir. Standard geranium shank and toes for the boots."
Tarkin nodded. Stepping down from the platform, out from inside the cage of laser tracers, he began to walk circles around the hologram, appraising it from all sides. During the war, the belted tunic, when closed, had extended across the chest on one side and across the midsection on the other. Now the line was vertical, which appealed to Tarkin's taste for symmetry. Just below each shoulder were narrow pockets designed to accommodate short cylinders that contained coded information about the wearer. A rank insignia plaque, made up of two rows of small colored squares, was affixed to the tunic's left breast. Medals and battle ribbons had no place on the uniform, nor in the imperial military. The Emperor was scornful of commendations for sand or pluck. Where another leader might wear garments of the finest synth silk, the Emperor favored robes of black patterned sayed cloth, often concealing his face within the cowl, furtive, exacting, ascetic.
"More to your liking?"
the droid asked, when its cordwainer program had tasked the holoprojector to incorporate changes to the boots.
"Better," Tarkin said. "Except perhaps for the belt. Center an officer's disc on the buckle and a matching one on the command cap."
He was about to elaborate when a childhood recollection took him down a different path, and he snorted in self-amusement. He must have been all of 11 at the time, dressed in a multi-pocketed vest he thought the perfect apparel for what he had assumed was going to be a jaunt on the Carrion Plateau. On seeing the vest, his grand-uncle Jova had smiled broadly, then issued a laugh that was at once avuncular and menacing.
"It'll look even better with blood on it," Jova had said.
"Do you find something humorous in the design, sir?"
the droid asked, in what amounted to distress. Tarkin shook his head.
"Nothing humorous, to be sure."
The foolishness of the fitting wasn't lost on him. He understood that he was simply trying to distract himself from having to fret over delays that were impeding progress on the battle station. Shipments from research sites had been postponed. Asteroid mining at Geonosis was proving unfeasible. Construction phase deadlines had not been met by the engineers and scientists who were supervising the project. A convoy transporting vital components was due to arrive. In the ensuing silence, the storm began to beat a mad tattoo on the window. Doubtless, Sentinel Base was one of the Empire's most important outposts. Still, Tarkin had to wonder what his paternal granduncle, who had once told him that personal glory was the only quest worth pursuing, would make of the fact that his most successful apprentice was in danger of becoming a mere administrator. His gaze had returned to the hologram when he heard urgent footsteps in the corridor outside the room. On receiving permission to enter, Tarkin's blonde-haired, clear-eyed adjutant hastened through the door, offering a crisp salute.
"A priority dispatch from Rampart Station, sir."
A look of sharp attentiveness erased Tarkin's frown.
Core word from Sentinel in the direction of the planet Pi, Rampart was a marshalling depot for supply ships bound for Geonosis, where the deep space weapon was under construction.
"I won't tolerate further delays," he started to say.
"Understood, sir," the adjutant said. "But this doesn't concern supplies. Rampart reports that it is under attack."